Peter was just 55 years of age and he's going to be enormously missed. Caroline Davison is a former executive producer of the Grandstand cricket coverage who worked with Peter for many years. Many of you will know Caroline as Princess Grace. Caroline, I remember Roby, a man with extraordinary talent to put into words what he was seeing in front of him, but also at the same time, one whose naivety sometimes could still make us laugh.
Absolutely. It is a sad day. You're so right. But when you reflect on all of the things that Peter brought to our broadcast, not only his amazing use of the English language, his incredible descriptive capabilities, even that grab that you just played that moment ago encapsulated what Peter thought about cricket, about what he thought about people, about what he thought about everybody's cultural differences, our religious backgrounds. Everything seemed to absolutely fascinate him, not only about people, but particularly about cricket. As you said, he was passionate about the game of cricket. He would enjoy nothing more than a long discussion about anything to do with cricket and also the issues surrounding cricket. One of the things that he was absolutely fanatical about was the way that cricket was or wasn't being run in Zimbabwe, and he really had a bee in his bonnet about that. And anybody who would listen to him, he would say, this isn't right, this isn't being run properly, this is corrupt, what's going on there? And he constantly wanted to get to the depth of exactly what was going on. But again, you're right about his love and his passion for South Africa, because he obviously played a lot of cricket when he was a young man in England. He then decided to emigrate to Australia, and he also had a home in South Africa, which he loved, and he spoke in very memorable and favorable terms about South Africa, how much he loved being there, how much he loved the life there, and how much he loved the people there. And when I've been thinking about him this morning, I've been thinking him about not only as the cricket broadcaster and writer, but also about Peter Roebuck, the man. So I want to talk to him, do first of all about Peter Roebuck, the broadcaster, because as you say, sometimes you'd be doing cricket broadcast and we'd be talking about something really interesting or the game would be at a pivotal point and suddenly he would say, I wonder why the seawater's salty.
Yes, I remember him.
The stars sparkle in the night. What's the difference between a crocodile and an alligator? And you think, Peter, what are you thinking about? Why are you talking about those things now? But the fascinating thing was, Sim, that people would respond and we'd get lengthy interviews explaining why the sea is salty and what the difference is between a crocodile and an alligator. And then he'd have moved on from that and then he would start analysing the cricket and describing what was in front of him. And he'd say something in a period of commentary and you'd think, I wonder. And then later on in the day, what he had predicted may or may not occur would have done. Or if he suggested a field placing, when that did happen, you'd think, yes, and he's right, because now they've brought a different bowler on or they've changed the field placings and a wicket has now been taken. He was extraordinary.
And somebody, Caroline, who had real courage of his convictions, who stood by what he said. If he said it to you in the box, if he said it on air, if he wrote it in his column, and many will remember when he started to talk about Ricky Ponting being removed as the Australian cricket captain, he was by himself for a little while. A lot of people were saying it behind closed doors. But Peter was out there, he was writing about it, it brought down an absolute storm on his head, but he was always a man of conviction.
Absolutely. He walked to the beat of his own drum, and you're right in what you say. If he believed in something, it didn't matter whether the rest of the world agreed with what he believed in. He was going to go with it, and he would say it loudly, and he would say it very proudly. And the thing about Peter, too, though, is if he said something, and you thought, oh, that was a rather an unusual comment, he would also be able to substantiate what his opinions were. So it wasn't as if he threw something out there just for the sake of being a little bit different or trying to see what sort of reaction he'd get from other people. He absolutely believed in what he said. And a lot of the things, as you said, and I was also thinking this morning specifically about Ricky Ponting and saying maybe it was time that he left and was no longer the captain of the Australian cricket team, and he mentioned about Mark Clark coming in as captain. A lot of people, as you said, disagreed with him and were really quite horrible to him because of the fact that he came out and said it with such justification. And so really anything that he said and anything that he wrote, he believed in absolutely and could justify his opinions on any issue.
I don't know that anything could justify his wardrobe, though.
It was different. And I think the thing that will always stand out were his hats. His hats were amazing. And more often than not, they'd be literally falling to pieces because he'd either go to somewhere like India or Pakistan or Sri Lanka or South Africa, and he would come back with one of those straw hats, which were obviously, made by the local people of those countries. But they'd be falling to bits. But he didn't mind. He wore his hat. He loved his hats. And they were just very much a part of Peter. And I can remember one season he'd come back from India, and he'd obviously gone shopping in India, and he came back with about 3 or 4 beautifully tailored suits, but he kept wearing those suits for some considerable period of time until they were literally falling to pieces. And yet, I have to say that Peter Roebuck was still one of the most elegant men I've actually seen. He carried himself with such poise. He had such a sense of self. There was a certain elegance about him, I have to say.
And our boys certainly let him know on air about his various choices in suits or hats or whatnot. But a humanitarian as well as a great cricket writer. Your final thoughts on him, Caroline?
I think no matter what Peter Roebuck will be remembered for, I think not only will he be remembered for being such a wonderful cricket writer and such a huge supporter of the game, but also as a philanthropist and a humanitarian. He had his LBW legacy through which he raised money, and not only did he raise money, but he personally financed, I think I'm right in saying, 10 young people and took them through university so that they could actually attain their fulfillment in life and actually achieve what they could not normally have done, because none of them had the money to go to university. A lot of them were in Africa, but I think too there were a number of young people in Australia too who he organized to go to university, and he looked after them, and he looked after them with the passion of a father, and he was so proud of all of their achievements, and he did a lot for people that nobody actually knew about, because he did it just very quietly and in a very business-like manner. And the only time he ever really spoke about it was if he was looking to maybe have a little more financial support. But if he couldn't get the financial support, he would do it himself. So I will always remember him with an enormous amount of affection and an enormous amount of respect. And I want him to always be remembered for the man that he was, for that amazing broadcaster, writer, and also for being such an incredible philanthropist.
Caroline, thank you for your thoughts today.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me talk about him.